Good morning. It's time for chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is Acts chapter 22, verses 30 through chapter 23, verse 11. The Reverend Marcus Zill is preaching. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from Acts chapters 22 and 23. But on the next day, desiring to know the real reason why he was being accused by the Jews, he unbound him and commanded the chief priests and all the council to meet, and he brought Paul down and set him before them. And looking intently at the council, Paul said, "Brothers, I have lived my life before God in all good conscience up to this day." And the high priest Ananias commanded those who stood by him to strike him on the mouth. Then Paul said to him, "God is going to strike you, you whitewashed wall. Are you sitting to judge me according to the law, and yet contrary to the law you order me to be struck?" Those who stood by said, "Would you revile God's high priest?" And Paul said, "I did not know, brothers, that he was the high priest. For it is written, 'You shall not speak evil of a ruler of your people.'" And when Paul perceived that one part were Sadducees and the other Pharisees, he cried out in the council, "Brothers, I am a Pharisee, a son of Pharisees. It is with respect to the hope and the resurrection of the dead that I am on trial." When he had said this, a dissension arose between the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and the assembly was divided. For the Sadducees say that there is no resurrection, nor angel, nor spirit, but the Pharisees acknowledge them all. Then a great clamor arose, and some of the scribes of the Pharisees' party stood up and contended sharply, "We find nothing wrong in this man. What if a spirit or an angel spoke to him?" And when the dissension became violent, the tribune, afraid that Paul would be torn to pieces by them, commanded the soldiers to go down and take him away from among them by force and bring him into the barracks. The following night, the Lord stood by him and said, "Take courage, for as you have testified to the facts about me in Jerusalem, so you must testify also in Rome." O Lord, have mercy on us. In many and various ways, God spoke to his people of old by the prophets. In the name of Jesus, amen. Paul was an equal opportunity offender. Everyone, it seemed, wanted him dead. The Jews felt that he had betrayed his own people and their faith by following Jesus. And the Gentiles felt that Paul's new message was absolute rubbish, foolishness, as well as bad for business. Yet draining the religious swamp of the day is not easy, especially when the one leading the charge is Paul, a self-proclaimed former giant religious swamp rat himself. The beauty of it all here is that Paul is free enough in Christ to not care. And so too are each of you. In our text, as we have been going through once a week through the book of Acts, Paul's on his way back to Jerusalem after his third missionary journey into Greece. And he had previously told his friends in Ephesus this, "Compelled by the Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me, if only I may finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace." So Paul knows what is on the horizon here. But is he going to get arrested, killed, Frankly, he doesn't really care either way, as long as he can testify to the truth of Jesus. And the truth is that there is no forgiveness of sins without Jesus' death and resurrection. And without forgiveness, there is no hope for any of us. That was true for Paul himself, true for those on the council to whom he spoke, as well as each of us here. But did you notice what Paul said before the Sanhedrin here? My brothers, I have fulfilled my duty to God in all good conscience to this day. You see, Paul had been accused of bringing a Gentile into the part of the temple grounds reserved for only Jewish people. It's fake news. It was the charge before this kangaroo court. Paul's conscience was completely clean in this matter, but his words paint a broader brush than that here. The bigger point is this. Why is his conscience so clear? This is what I want you brothers and sisters to ponder. Why is his conscience so clear? Well, you know why? Because he actually believes and trusts the very message he's been proclaiming around the world, that Christ is risen. He knows that there is forgiveness for every sin that he's ever committed, including persecuting the church and even approving of the murder of some who confessed this same name in which he preaches. That's the grace of God, folks, that loves and forgives even people that don't deserve it. People like Paul, people like you and I. So, dear sinners, let your confidence, no matter what your sin, be no less than his. You are a complete sinner, and you have a complete Savior. And how do you know this? Because the devil's head was crushed. Jesus has risen from the grave, and with high delight we unite in that. Of course, the topic of life in whatever kingdom always divides in both kingdoms. Not only when it comes to when life begins to someone in this world, but also when the topic turns to the rebirth that we have in eternal life in the world to come. And we see that debate here too in Acts. And Paul shrewdly uses this to his advantage. When he realizes, who he's speaking against, he realizes who he's up against, he uses the resurrection, the point of theological contention among these two very different groups of Jewish leaders, to spark up a little bit of commotion during his trial. Dude started a riot over the resurrection in front of the Sanhedrin and the Pharisees. He not only confesses the resurrection of Christ as the reason that he's on trial, but at the same time, he also gums up the courtroom and pits those there against one another to the point when they are just kind of like, hey, get rid of this guy. This is getting bad. Send him back to the barracks. It was quite the twofer. You got to hand it to Paul. Now, it's still Paul or anyone's guess as to what's going to happen to him. Well, the enemies of this message, both inside the Jewish camp and those outside of it, finally get their way and get rid of Paul on the face of the earth? No, at least not yet. But while in custody the next night, Jesus himself comes to Paul to assure him that he still has work to do. And he says these beautiful words of comfort. Take courage. As you've testified about me in Jerusalem, so you also must testify in Rome. Not quite a jailbreak, but comfort for sure in the work that he is still given to do. Jesus is literally there with him that night, just as he had been throughout every step of Paul's way since the road to Damascus. When Jesus called Paul from being a persecutor to an apostle, the church, he told him clearly in these words, "I have appeared to you to appoint you as a servant and as a witness of what you have seen of me and of what I will show you. I will rescue you from your own people and from the Gentiles. I'm sending you to them to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, so that they too may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me." Jesus was with Paul then. He was with him now, and he would remain with him just as he said to him and the others before his ascension, "Truly, I will be with you to the very end of the age." Dear friends, be assured of this. Not even death can change Christ's presence for you. In fact, it is through his death that he's present even more for you when you were privileged to receive his body and blood. You know, there's a certain freedom when you get that down. A certain freedom that comes to you when you realize just that. And that was true just 3 weeks ago. Tensions have flared up in Africa, you may have heard. Another 25 or so killed just yesterday, Burkina Faso. Nigerian pastor, not one of our own, Reverend Lawan Ndimi, was beheaded by Boko Haram like 3 weeks ago for refusing to deny Christ. Just days after capture, the pastor was shown in a ransom video released by his captors. His temperance and his countenance was far from fearful. He said, "All conditions that one finds himself is in the hand of God," he says in the video. "By the grace of God, I will yet be together with my wife, my children, and my colleagues. But if the opportunity is not granted, maybe it is the will of God." Dear loved ones, as Paul would say to the church in Philippi, to live is Christ, to die is gain. Either way, we too go with Jesus, folks. You are incredibly free, free to be faithful. So my brothers and sisters, take courage, testify to Christ, because you are in Christ. It is he who is working through you. Whether you are working on spreadsheets to support the spread of the gospel behind the scenes, or if you, God forbid, find your neck up against an executioner's freshly sharpened blade, take comfort and courage in knowing that wherever you go and whatever you guys do in your life, Jesus goes with you. He stands by you in the resurrection. You are baptized into his name. His life is already yours. So testify. Testify in everything you do. Confess Christ freely. You truly have absolutely nothing to lose. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for chapel. Today we pray for the short-term community health team serving the Lord in Peru. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces, visit kfuo.org/chapel.